This evening's speaker is Roy Shepherd. He's a 55-year-old man who will now teach you how to be a young woman. That's how I was introduced about 10 years ago by the rather mischievous female head of the sixth form to about 50 17-year-old girls at a prestigious private girls' school in Somerset, England. She felt quite strongly that her girls were too insulated from the real world. She told me ahead of my lecture that they hardly ever came into contact with adult men other than their own fathers, as their teachers were also predominantly women. She wanted them to hear an unfiltered male perspective on adult life. I'd commented to her that as an older man, it saddened me and the many good men I know that these days, any man who showed interest in the sincere well-being of young women was instantly labelled as a potential pervert or a suspected paedophile. Men like me feel that our voices have been silenced. How was that allowed to happen? It's a tragedy. So I applaud that teacher's view that good men have a valuable role to play in this respect, which has been confirmed by the huge number of messages I've received from mothers and daughters thanking me for writing this book from the perspective of a non-parent. On the walls of the lecture room, I'd stuck blank sheets of paper with chapter headings taken from the book. I invited them to write anonymous questions on the topics that interested them the most. Predictably, they wrote loads of questions about men and sex. At that point, I quietly thought, what the hell have I let myself in for? While the girls enthusiastically wrote down their questions, the teacher came up to me and whispered in my ear, "This is utterly, utterly brilliant." I was asked all sorts of questions, which I did my best to answer as honestly as possible. The entire group were totally engaged throughout. When I finished, I told them that I wasn't rushing off and if anyone had any additional questions, I'd be happy to answer them. Nearly half the girls stayed behind. Then, within earshot, the teacher cleared everything away while the girls asked a barrage of further questions. A few of them stick in my mind. One girl said, "You talked quite a lot about the differences between boys and girls, but what are the similarities?" The teacher piped up, "I can't wait to hear your answer to that one." I said, "At your age, boys and girls tend to pretend to be who they think they need to be as a man or a woman. If you get it right, you're cool. If you get it wrong, you're labelled a male or female jerk." Almost in unison, the girls looked across the room to the teacher who said, "That's spot on. I totally agree." Phew. Another girl shared how irritated she was about a boy who'd asked her out. I asked what was so irritating about him. She said that he kept asking her what she wanted to do on their date. For clarity, I asked, "So you haven't had the date yet then?" "No," she replied. "And you're already irritated by him?" "Yes," she said. I paused before I said, "Would you really like me to tell you what I think in front of your friends?" She hesitated before saying, "Yes, please tell me what you think." So I said this, "I find it fascinating that you have a negative feeling towards this boy when he is actually one of the good guys. He cares about you and wants you to have a nice time on your date. Most guys his age wouldn't bother. They'd simply tell you, 'I'm doing this on Saturday. Do you want to come?'" I added, "All of you, please be very careful about who you write off so quickly. Considerate boys and men don't deserve girls or women who don't appreciate them." The girls looked over to their teacher. She smiled and said, "I agree with him." On another occasion, I was invited to speak before a special dinner at Shrewsbury School, a famous boys' school. Imagine my shock when I arrived to hear that not only was the school now mixed, but attending the dinner would be boys and girls visiting from a school in Argentina, so English was not their first language. This makes things very complicated and challenging for any speaker. But I had a lot of fun with the boys that evening. I asked them, "Who would like to know how to really impress every girl or woman you ever meet for the rest of your life?" I spun it out for quite a while, teasing the boys, while the female teachers gave me the evil eye in case I said something politically incorrect or inappropriate. I was enjoying myself. Eventually, I said, "These are the magic words to impress any woman. You say this. And what do you think? Then you shut up and just listen with your full attention." It got a huge laugh from all the teachers, male and female, and from the girls. Not all the boys were convinced, though. Later, over dinner, one of the teachers came over to the table where I was sitting and said, "I must tell you what has just happened on my table." One of the boys said to one of the girls, "And what do you think?" I said, "What then happened?" He said, "I don't know. She hasn't finished yet." Introduction. Mountain biking through a forest recently with my partner, we climbed higher and higher and eventually came around a corner to face a scene of utter devastation. Hundreds of massive trees had been blown over in a storm. They were strewn everywhere. What a mess. But thousands more trees were still standing. Those lying on the ground all shared one specific quality. You could now see that every fallen tree had shallow roots. Their roots just weren't deep or strong enough to provide the fallen trees with what they needed in order to survive the storm. The fallen trees in the forest looked strong. Maybe they even thought they were strong, but they weren't. Watch trees in a violent storm. Even though they're so tall and strong, they have the sense to be flexible in those difficult times. They know when to be flexible. If in those storms they remain rigid and inflexible, they would break. People are the same. Flexibility, coupled with a deep and broad root system, will allow you to weather whatever life throws at you. When you know how to do this, you're far more likely to lead a truly happy life, confident in the knowledge that you have a solid and firm foundation. So, what are your roots like? Do you have deep roots or are they shallow? How can you know? It usually takes a life storm to find out for sure. Life storms affect almost everyone. Not getting a job you really wanted, losing a job, having a breakup, maybe one day a divorce, being involved in an accident, being attacked, burgled, getting really sick, losing loved ones. Some can destroy us. In the movie Avatar, the story revolves around the tree of life. We are all trees of our own lives. Think of your tree trunk, branches, and leaves as what you are. Your roots represent who you are and who you'll become. Your formal education is one of those roots, and it's an important one. But it's not the only one, far from it. If you're still in full-time education, it could be easy to convince yourself that there's no time to develop these other life skills. That would be a mistake. So think of the chapters that follow as each of the other vital roots to help you develop a happier future life. Even if you're a quiet type and might not feel as though you're part of any of the above right now, at no time in history has there been so many opportunities for women in a growing number of countries and cultures to excel at whatever they choose to do with their life. Western feminists in the 1960s loudly proclaimed that women could have it all. However, that part of feminism has proven to be untrue. You will have to make choices. Your future as a successful, happy, and fulfilled woman will be based on your personal priorities and choices, and will become the result of all the decisions you make and don't make in the years to come. Therefore, your ability to make great decisions is key to this. The best decisions are always made using the most up-to-date and relevant information available to you. Crucially, you have to be open to that information in order to be fully responsible for the consequences of your ultimate decisions. This audiobook is designed to help you make better choices, to give you an edge on life. Think back to when you were 14. How much more did you know about life than when you were just 10? And at 18, how much more than when you were 14? 22 now? 30? And in the next 4 years, you'll know even more about yourself and life than you do today, and so on. Based on that reasoning, How much more do women of 40, 50, 60, or even 70 know about being a woman? Here is a unique chance to learn from their mistakes and their wisdom. Guidebook to your life journey. Every year, millions of young people set off with their rucksacks to see the world. New people, new cultures, and totally new experiences. In almost every case, these travellers have life-changing experiences they carry with them for the rest of their lives. Even the most experienced travellers know that a travel guide for their particular destination is an essential part of their kit. An up-to-date guidebook to tell you the best ways to get around, where to stay, what to see, where to party, and how to be safe, perhaps in areas of the world with wildly different customs and attitudes towards women. In some places, you really need to know stuff before you get there. But does studying and learning from a travel guide spoil the spontaneity and enjoyment of the travel experience? No way! You stand to gain far more by being better informed. It's exactly the same with this audiobook. Think of it as a travel guide for your future life as a woman. Throughout, you'll find nuggets of wisdom to help you on your way. Some truly amazing women have contributed to this. Collectively, there are more than 1,500 years of life experience. There's also input from quite a few switched-on men too. These people don't know you. Therefore, they have no agenda. They're not trying to control or patronize you. They have simply volunteered their time to look back on their own lives and share what they've learned on their own journeys. It's been said that our minds are like parachutes. They only work when they're open. So, are you open to learning aspects about life that you have yet to experience from kind people who've been there ahead of you? If so, keep listening. You're finally taking your own path after years of what may have felt like totally unnecessary supervision. Now, at long last, you can do what you like with whomever you like without the knowledge or approval of overprotective parents. It's both exciting and a bit scary, and it should be. Wanting to cut your mother's apron strings in order to be more independent is perfectly natural. But be aware that this coincides with a very real identity crisis for many mothers. They are now faced with who they will become once their little girl leaves the nest. In many cases, a woman's identity is so wrapped up in her role as a mother that she may fear becoming completely redundant, that the bond so carefully nurtured with you over the years is about to be broken. It is about to change, but it doesn't necessarily have to get broken as you transition into being a woman. And as for fathers, they remember very clearly how preoccupied they were with girls when they were your age, and how they were prepared to say and do just about anything in order to get a girl into bed. Their male teenage sexual experiences, occasional reckless behaviour and irresponsibility, not to mention their fantasies and dreams, have turned into nightmares now that they are the protective fathers of young women. Building bridges. It might be helpful to think of parents, step-parents and extended family members as hands. Some children grow up with these hands wrapped around them, sharing the role of supporting, nurturing, protecting, guiding, and occasionally punishing and repeatedly dipping into their pockets to pay for everything. Sometimes, though, the daughter only has one of those hands to provide for all her needs, and in other cases, she grows up without any helpful hands available to her at all. If someone has given you this audiobook as a gift, perhaps a friend or parent, they care deeply about your well-being and future happiness. They know that you're entering the next stage of your life. They know you need to assert your independence and are prepared to step back to give you the space to do so. Your needs are being taken seriously, whether you're aware of it or not. You'll certainly encounter situations and experiences that are new to you. Stubbornly insisting that you do everything on your own is not always a sensible idea. Part of being a mature person is knowing when to ask for help. I hope this audiobook provides you with invaluable practical help, but also acts like a bridge between parents and daughters. Ask anyone who knows how bridges are built, and they'll tell you that they're always constructed from both sides simultaneously. Refusing to collaborate with parents on the opposite shore will simply make it unnecessarily difficult for you to build that bridge on solid foundations. So dip in and out of this audiobook. Let it help you see the bigger picture of your future life. Discuss the topics with your girlfriends and ask your parents about their lives before you were born, what they've learned about life, their fondest memories, and the lessons that they've learned. Ask them what they agree about in this audiobook, even what they don't agree with. By talking, you might all learn something from the conversations and each other.